Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Spiritual Common Sense. I'm Joffrey McClung, and this is HealthyLife.net. Well, we've made it through the first month of 2024. Now, for many of us, that means our resolutions have literally flown out the window. I love going to the gym in January. It is packed with all new faces. And by February 1st, it's back to the regular gym goers. It just makes me laugh that January and May, just in time for bathing suits, are filled with all these new faces, ready to work out, to be thinner and healthier, and just a month later, it's back to the regular gym goers. It just makes me laugh. So, I don't know about you, but I was happy to say farewell to 2023 and hello to 2024. 2023 was an interesting year, to say the least. It went up and down for me. It taught me many, many lessons. And frankly, a few of those lessons I will continue to work on in this new year. But 2024 is a brand new year with brand new energy and with new hope. New hope that this year will allow us to be more of who we truly are. Magnificent, empowered beings playing this human game. And I would add, being delighted by this human game as well. I actually added to my affirmations list a new affirmation for 2024, one that I desperately want to experience. It is simply this: I am tickled by life. Tickled. That is something I would greatly love, to have life tickle me. So see, there is hope. So, I'm not going to discuss resolutions. What I've decided to discuss in our spiritual homework segment are the components necessary to return to self-love. The first two components I'll discuss are self-forgiveness and self-compassion. In the following months, I'll discuss other components necessary for self-love. Now, in our inspiration segment, I'm going to share a story about how a father taught his son to value his life. In the story, the father says, valuing your life is about where you put yourself. Do you put yourself at the $2 level or at the $2 million level? Hopefully, the work you do on returning to self-love will put you firmly, firmly in the $2 million level. This will be made clearer when you hear the story. But first, we're going to be speaking with the author, Edie Summers, who wrote the book, The Memory of Health, A Journey to Well-Being. Edie is also a wellness coach and a yoga instructor, and I believe is pursuing her PhD in health psychology. Is that true, Edie? And welcome, Edie.
Hi, Joffrey. Thank you so much for having me here. I really appreciate it. You know, that program went away, although I have found potentially similar programs. And actually, I'm now taking some courses in business, but I'm trying to find a similar program to that. It's not okay. Something, yeah, but I did study counseling at the master's level, and we did cover some health psychology, which I absolutely love.
Kind of like I could tell from reading your book, yeah. You definitely like health psychology books.
Yes.
We're going to start off with the question I always ask everyone. Where were you born? And when you were little, what did you dream of becoming when you grew up?
Oh, my gosh. I love that question. I haven't been asked that in so long. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. and I love the mountains there. Oh my goodness. When I was growing up, first of all, I wanted to be a jockey because I loved horses.
And a jockey. So okay.
A jockey. I was obsessed with horses. So I started working out a lot. I was jogging. I wanted to get in really good shape to make sure I could, you know, be physically fit. But I also was a writer, I would say, and so I think that dream took over at some point. I started writing poetry when I was younger, and
well, you
I've
probably
been a writer, so go ahead.
Grew a bit taller to be a jockey, did you not? Jockeys are little tiny people.
Yeah, so I think somebody at some point said yes, I had passed the height requirement to be a jockey.
I would think so. Well, Edie, okay, so you were raised in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yes.
What were your parents like, your mother and your father? What were they like?
Oh, that's a really great question. So my parents are from California, and I would say they were more on the conservative side and very loving. They really wanted children, so they had five of us, and they were also entrepreneurs. My father was, he worked in engineering and with material science engineering. So he actually helped work on the battery for originally what was going to go to make up the electric car using ceramics. My mother.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they were both academics. My mother was a teacher for a really long time, and she has a PhD, I think it's an educational, I forget what it's called. But but they're both academics and love children, and they had their own high-tech ceramics company for a really long time, too.
Oh, they sound really cool. Well, let me ask you this. Okay, when did you start dancing? How old were you when you started to dance?
Oh, my goodness. I was 5 years old. I started in tap dance and fell in love with it. And then I did that for years. And then I got into ballet because a ballet company moved into the bottom part of the building where I went to elementary school. So I was like, well, I'll have to take ballet now because it's right there. And then I got into modern dance and then contemporary dance and then world dance. So, and including flamenco. So I've been doing it forever.
Well, let me ask you, what does dancing do for you internally? How does it make you feel? What does it do for you?
Oh, my goodness. I just love your questions, Jeffrey. I haven't thought about these in so long. It makes me feel very free. I mean, for me, dancing is a great way to express myself. So I would say initially when I was younger, I was much more shy, and so I was more, I would say, nonverbal in terms of expressing emotion potentially. And so dance for me was a natural way to express how I was feeling. I didn't know that at the time, but I just loved it. So, so I would say, and it's also very physical, right? Like, and also you get to inhabit different, like, I noticed you're an actor, right? Like, it's, you get to portray different stories and different feelings through dance. It's storytelling.
I love dancing. I absolutely adore dancing. And I have many dancer friends from New York. They say the same thing you said. It's about freedom and expressing your emotions, which I do. I do it in my meditations. I dance in my, I have rhythm and I can dance. And I was in some musicals and I could, you know, do tap and a little bit of modern, but ballet was not for me. But, dancing just is freedom and self-expression. And I dance in my meditations, and that tells me what I'm feeling when I see how I'm moving in my meditation dance wise. So I'm not surprised you're a dancer.
I love that. And I never thought of doing that in meditation. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it just tells me, okay, well, I'm feeling, I want to, she's dancing up in the trees and runs when I come. That tells me, okay, there's something I'm hiding from myself. So I use dance in meditation since I'm not a great dancer at my age anymore. My knees are gone. Skiing wrecks my knees. But anyway.
I hear you.
let's move a little bit deeper.
Okay.
Something happened to you, and you can tell us what you care to. What happened to you when you were 5 years old that impacted you, negatively, I presume. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and oh my goodness, I'm just amazed at how much you learned about my story. This is kind of a sad story. Overall, I had a great upbringing, but there was this moment in time where I honestly had forgotten about it until I was much older. But there was someone else involved too, but I'll leave that person out of the story. But I was on a playground at school, and this other group of kids approached me.
Were they five as well?
No, they were older. They were still in elementary school, but they were much older. And I won't go into too much of the details, but it was a traumatic event where they, you know, were saying things like, oh, you're not being a good girl. I forget exactly what they said, but, you know, I blocked a lot of it out until I was older. And then they marched me across the field and into the bushes, and that's where I pretty
they
much
abused you.
Losing memory. Yeah. Yeah, and later when I was much older, I was like, oh, that's right. But I do think that had an impact for a while, and I know that you talk about, you know, self-love, and that was definitely, I think that was something that, even though I didn't know it at the time, it would have been a challenge for me in terms of self-love for a while.
Oh, I think most girls, and some boys, some men that I know, we've all been abused. Sexually or verbally sexually. I was 5'2" when the first time it happened to me in a movie theater. A grown man. I ran away, but it happens to women in general, and I'm appalled by it. But I'm glad you did your homework on it, because I think it does impact our sense of self-love. Especially when you're so young and you have no way to put it in context of why this is happening to you, that these people have issues, not you. So I think it did impact you. Now, that was when you were five. You tucked it away. You didn't think about it. You did not live in your mind constantly. And then you had a skiing accident. Now, how old were you when you had the skiing accident?
Yes, I was 22, and then I think I know where you're going with this, Joffrey. Yes, during the course of recovering from that, I was on a lot of, I forget exactly everything they gave me, but I'm assuming painkillers and probably some anti-inflammatories. I normally can't tolerate prescription drugs, but I was very much, I had a lot of things in my system, and I was lying on the couch, and I had a very sore leg and knee. And I had this kind of vision of this, this sounds really dark, but first of all, I remembered that event, which I had completely forgotten about.
The five-year-old event.
Yeah. And then I even had like another kind of like weird vision of the Grim Reaper, and I was just like, whoa, like this is very dark, disturbing. These are dark, disturbing, you know, memories and experiences. But in a way, I'm grateful because I'm glad that I don't know the details still. I think that, you know, sometimes you have events that happen to you and your brain is protecting you. So I still don't remember all the details, but I remembered the event and I remembered some of the details. And it was kind of a shock to remember them, but then I was like, it also opened the door to healing.
Yes. Yeah. You got to remember things in order to heal things. That's what I always.
Yeah.
If you're busy shoving things down, not remembering, saying, "Oh, life's great for me," and you've got this wound that's wide open on your back, it's going to raise up somehow. Whether it's in behavior you do to other people, or you draw on people who misbehave against you, which we will talk about shortly. You've lived a very interesting life, and everybody does. You're not that unusual in the sense that we all have our ups and downs. We all have different things happen. Sometimes abuse. Sometimes verbally, sometimes physically, sometimes we get with the wrong people. But the journey is the journey, you know, and what you learn from it's what you learn, and you've obviously learned a lot. All right, so you broke your leg, or you harmed your leg. That reawakened your memory of your five-year-old event of being abused.
Yeah.
You were on a lot of drugs. You needed them, obviously, some of them, because you were in great pain. Now, were you working already in a health food store during this time or not?
No, that was afterwards, because I started having a reaction to all the anti-inflammatories, and I had to go into physical therapy, and at some point, my knee, I was trying to work through the scar tissue, and I can only get it to about 90 degrees, and then it's a really long story, but they put me on a kind of a prescription drug version of naproxen. Anyway, I kept having these really terrible reactions, and so I took myself off everything just because I could tell I was, like, falling down this really dark black hole. And
right.
then I went into the natural, I went to see a naturopath, and he gave me some ideas for natural anti-inflammatories, and then he sent me to the health food store. So after I went to the store for the first time, I fell in love with it. It was an incredible experience, and then I worked very hard to get a job. So
well, I know you worked there for quite a few years. Now, when did you meet your the boyfriend? We call him the boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's the best we can do for him.
I'm amazed at how much, Joffrey, that you read and remembered. It's incredible. Kudos to you for remembering all of this. I do take notes.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I said I do take notes. Go ahead.
Well, I met my ex-husband when I was around 31, so it was a while later. But yeah, so but I had a I know who you're talking about. I had a
boyfriend and an ex-husband.
Yes.
Both of them,
yes.
To be honest, were abusive, terribly
yes.
abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So my boyfriend was not too soon after. My first boyfriend ever was when I was 25. And it was not too soon after I was professionally very excited about working in a natural food store. That was going really well. And then probably because I didn't know how to have good boundaries and how to love myself and how to know my worth, I allowed someone into my life who did not have their life together and who was abusing alcohol and marijuana. And it had a terrible impact on me personally, so yes, yeah. And that, unfortunately, that first relationship, of course, I at some point figured out that it wasn't healthy. I didn't really know. It was my first relationship,
of course.
I didn't really know. And so I ended it as soon as I realized what was happening. But unfortunately, I still really didn't, it still kind of left the door open for someone else to come in that maybe also didn't really. My ex-husband was a functioning alcoholic. He hid it better. But again, because I didn't have good boundaries and I, you know, didn't.
Well, I think it has to do with a lack of self-love, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think we draw people in that we feel like we deserve, and that's where you were at.
Right.
You felt you deserved that. So I think that comes from your 5-year-old, and we don't heal our inner wounds, they come back and haunt us. But you did heal your inner wounds. That's the good news. And you write poetry. I love the fact you put poetry in your book. What made you start to write poetry, and how old were you when you started to write poetry?
Thank you. I would say probably in elementary school.
Really?
Yeah, they would give us writing assignments. And I think they even had a poetry book that, you know, we could all contribute to, even in elementary school. So I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. And when I started writing them, I was like, oh, this feels very natural. So, and then I did write a whole book of poetry, and then I pulled some of those poems and put them in the other book that you're talking about.
Yeah, I love that you have your book straightforward, and then you have your poetry within the book, which I just adore. And of course, you have your journal, different things. But I love the fact that you write poetry. I think that's another way to express emotions that we have trouble expressing is through poetry.
Yeah.
All right. So you had your 5-year-old. Then you broke your leg. That reminded you of it. Then you drew in these two men who were abusive. Then you started to work at a health food store, and that really changed your life. But what I'd like to ask you, we've got about 2 minutes before we go to commercial, is why did you title your book The Memory of Health? The Memory. Mm-hmm. That interested me.
Yes. So very briefly, first of all, I was remembering what it felt like to feel well. That was the literal reason that I chose that title. But also, it was kind of, so memory is also tied to mindfulness. I learned later in grad school, which is like a lucid state of being. But also I believe, and I don't know if this for sure if this is true, but I was reading Deepak Chopra's book, Quantum Healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he talks about something related to the memory of health in there. I could be completely wrong about that at this point, but I seem to recall something about that as well that triggered me. And for some reason, that title just jumped right out to me. So
remembering when you were healthy. You yes. were, that's why you named it the memory of health.
Yes.
Oh, I think that's quite lovely. Well, when we come back from a commercial, we're going to get much more into the book, which is The Memory of Health. I've been speaking with Edie Summers, and she dedicated her book to her dad, and I want to read this dedication really quickly. The book was dedicated to her dad, and it says, "Dedicated to my pop, who fought to live and worked on his own book until the day he passed." I love that. My dad was I was very close to my dad. I love that you dedicated this book to your dad. We've got about 30 seconds. What was his book about?
Thank you. Well, it was on material science and also, I believe, on the electric car. He was writing on ceramics, high-tech ceramics in the electric car. Yes, so I forget the exact title, but yes. So.
I'm sure he's very proud of you. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about her book. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Hey, this is Joffrey McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. We are speaking with the author, Edie Summers, who wrote the book The Memory of Health, A Journey to Well-Being. Edie, we want to talk a little bit more about your book. We know why you named it The Memory of Health, and we know why you put poetry into it. Let me ask you this. In it, you talked about that you suffer from chronic illness, and you said you became your illness. Can you describe a little bit about what you mean by you became your illness?
Yes. Well, I was so sick for a while with chronic fatigue that was my reality. So, I mean, I was in bed for 6 months, and I think that being in an abusive marriage also made me even more sick because of the severe stress. And I was also, after that marriage ended, I had to move, and I moved into a new place that had new carpeting and paint, and my body can't process a lot of synthetic toxins very well, so my body completely crashed, and so my whole world was being sick. Now, at some point, You know, I had, even though I was definitely physically sick, I had to mentally and emotionally grab on to as much positivity as I could to do everything I could to change my situation. And of course, I was always trying to, but, you know, it's really important to find those glimmers of hope and inspiration. But yeah, I was super sick, like, I would say just because I was in bed for 6 months was probably why.
Yeah, that will kind of mess you up when you're stuck in bed for 6 months. Well, let me ask you, what do you think, what changed your sense of self-love? Do you remember the incident, or do you remember how you suddenly shifted from feeling not valued to suddenly realizing you are valuable?
So Joffrey, that's a beautiful question, and honestly, it's been a process.
It always is. It always is.
Yeah, I would say it took constant reevaluating and checking in and telling myself that I was worthy, telling myself that I was valuable, and also learning boundaries and enforcing those boundaries with other people. And it was a huge, huge undertaking and journey, and I just was always working on it, and if I found myself kind of falling back into a place of doubt, like self-doubt versus self-love, then, you know, I would gently remind myself, okay, let's look back at, you know, what's worked and what can I do differently. I think that really the important thing is to keep trying new things and knowing my worth and being able to communicate that and believe it.
And not worry if anybody else sees you as worthy. That's the trick. Mm-hmm. People want everybody else to agree with, I am worthy. Mm-hmm. Nobody on the planet may think you are worthy, but you know you are worthy. That's the cool thing. Well, what do you, you talk about in your book, practicing of having hope. Tell us a little bit about the importance of having hope when you're dealing with inner issues or outer issues.
Well, hope is so important because it's tied to possibility. So, and it usually is something that we start thinking about when we're going through something really difficult. And also, hope is very much tied to what we can control, and it's very much tied to positivity. So what I mean by what we can control is that I think a lot of us will say, like, we can kind of see in this world that there are so many things that we can't control. And when you focus on what you can control, that makes you feel more positive, and that in turn can make you feel more hopeful. But hope is also very much tied to realizing that you're connected to everything in a positive way. It's really that spark of light. If I could say it in just a nutshell, it's just knowing, even if today doesn't feel good or it feels like a dark day or you can't see the future for yourself, just know that there is a future, know that the sun's going to rise again, and know that nothing lasts forever. I remind myself of that over and over again.
Remind myself of that when I hit those low periods. We're human. We're going to have up and down days. Well, let me ask you, what was the greatest gift of having chronic fatigue? I think we choose our lives and what we're going to experience in a way. So what was the greatest gift of having chronic fatigue, Edie?
Well, I would say, first of all, because it opened me up to learning more about nutrition and self-care, I was actually able to harness a greater sense of well-being. Now, I have to stay on top of it. If I don't, then, if I have too much stress, my symptoms will flare up. But I would say that in a strange way, it was a gift because it let me know that there were alternative ways to improve well-being. And I would say that it also kind of led me to myself more because I had to really, really get to know myself more and also my body. Body signals.
I think it had to do with getting to know this is just my guess. I don't know. Only you know. But in general, I would say when we have something like chronic fatigue, it forces you to put yourself first because you have no choice.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. And there's nothing better, because I went to self-love because I had issues that were in my face that forced me to look inside and find my own self-love. So I think chronic fatigue, in a way, served its purpose to help you find self-love in a strange way. It's not a fun way, but I think we have many lives, so you'll have another life where you're not. You don't have chronic fatigue, but you sound much better, so I think you've got it under control. Is that true, Edie?
It is, thank you, yes. It is, as long as I continue to show up for myself, yes. And and like you said, put myself first, and really I had to learn to value my own well-being. That was a huge lesson for me.
I think that's probably the greatest gift, valuing your own well-being. Well, what do you hope people get out of reading your book, Edie?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I do, first of all, I just hope they find a sense of hope, whether they've been through trauma or a chronic illness or some type of major life challenge. I hope that they can find a spark of hope. And there are a lot of theories of chronic fatigue in there. And also, if they have another type of chronic condition or if they've been through trauma, I talk a lot about traumatic resilience. There are a lot of resources in there for self-care as well. So, but I would say hope. That's what I hear people say over and over again when they read it and get back to me, is that they felt a little more hopeful that they could find answers. Or, you know, at least get started on that path toward a greater being.
There's nothing worse than feeling hopeless. I mean, we've all felt that. You might as well take me off the planet if I have no hope. So I think your book did definitely preached hope. I think your poems showed some of that as well. I think everyone should get this book, especially if you are suffering from a chronic illness. Or chronic fatigue or any chronic illness. I think this book could be very helpful to people. I think it could give them hope. It can also let you know you're not alone. Other people are struggling with things as well. Edie, where can people follow you, read about you, and get your book?
Oh, and Jessica, I just want to say thank you so much for what you just said there. And yes, so you can find me on social media as Edie Summers, and my book is available on Amazon.com, The Memory of Health. But it's also on Lulu.com. That's where I published it, and you can get it in color there, interior color. So I like the interior color version because it reminds me of, you know, Louise Hay's books where she did those.
No, I know, I know. Well, everyone should get this book. We've been talking with Edie Summers. We're going to be back after this commercial, and go and get The Memory of Health. Thanks a lot. This is Spiritual Common Sense.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Uplifting Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Spiritual Common Sense. I'm Joffrey McClung. This month's inspiration is to value your life. Okay, here's a short story that I found that highlights how we see ourselves. One day, a son went to his father and asked, "What is the value of my life?" Instead of answering, the father gave him a stone and said, "If you want to know the value of your life, take this stone and go to the market to sell it. If anyone asks you for the price, don't say a word. Just raise two fingers. However, do not accept any offer and bring the stone back to me." The boy went to the market. He looked around, and suddenly an old woman approached him and asked, "How much is that stone? I want to put it in my garden." The boy didn't say anything and raised two fingers. So the woman said, $2? I'll take it." The son was surprised, and he rushed back to his father and said, "There's an old woman at the market. She wanted to give me $2 for the stone." The father then said, "My son, now I want you to take this rock to the museum. And if you're asked the price, raise two fingers, don't say a word, and bring the stone back to me." The boy took the stone and then went to the museum. After a while, there was a middle-aged man who approached the boy and asked the price. The boy didn't say a word and raised up two fingers. The man asked, $200? The boy didn't say anything once again. The man said, "Okay, I'll take it." The boy was shocked and ran back to his father, shouting, "Father, father, the man in the museum wanted to buy the stone for $200. The father replied, "Okay, son, the last place I want you to take this stone is to a precious stone store. Walk inside, show it only to the owner. Don't say a word, and if you're asked the price, just raise two fingers, then bring this stone back to me." The son went to the precious stone store and showed the stone to the owner. "Oh, my God! Where did you find this?" the owner asked. "This is the most precious, unpolished gem, one of the most valuable in the world. I must have it. What price would you take for it?" The boy didn't say anything and raised two fingers, to which the man replied, $2 million? That's a bargain, and I'll take it." The boy couldn't believe it. The boy, not knowing what to say, went breathlessly running home to his father, anxiously clutching this now priceless stone, terrified he might lose it. The boy said, "Father, the precious stone owner wants to buy this stone for $2 million. The father then said, "Son, you have been carrying in your hands one of the most precious objects of our people. It is truly priceless." The father continues, "My dear son, do you now understand the value of your life? Life is all about where you put yourself. You can decide if you want to be a $2 stone or a $2 million stone." The moral of this story is value your life. Some people will see your life worth $2, others $200, and still a few others will see it worth $2 million. You must surround yourself with other precious souls who recognize the greatest value of your life, because it is one of your most prized possessions, and you must not allow it to be undervalued. Don't lose faith in yourself. Some people may not see your qualities or appreciate them, and some may even put them down. However, it's up to you to hold on to your value, to honor it, to cherish it, and to treasure it. Every human being on this planet, at times, have felt devalued, underappreciated, and perhaps even ridiculed by other people. I say don't let other people's opinions become your opinion about yourself.
Self-love taught me so much about the goodness that lives in my heart, that I am worthy of love, and that I matter, and that I am good enough. But of course, I had others who did not treat me that way. And before I moved back into my self-love, I allowed this mistreatment to define me. I felt unlovable, not worthy, not appreciated, not valued, and certainly that I did not matter. Self-love saved my life. It reminded me that we're all spiritual beings playing this human game, and that the universe sees me as grand, spectacular, and even awesome. And I need to see myself the way the universe saw me. I needed to value my life rather than looking for others to make me feel better about myself. To value one's life means to appreciate who you are. And when I say who you are, I mean who you are underneath all your safety nets, your defenses, and your walls. Safety nets are your simply your go-to behaviors when you're feeling fear, such as control, needing to be right, or even people-pleasing. To value who you are at your core and to know that you are more than good enough, just the way you are. Now, maybe no one knows this. Maybe nobody treats you kindly or generously. None of that really matters in the bigger picture. The bigger picture is you came to this planet fully equipped for your journey, not for someone else's journey. It would be nice if everyone treated you kindly, lovingly, and appreciated you. But we're all on different journeys. We all have different lessons we're here to learn. We all have different challenges we're overcoming. So do not put the value of your life in someone else's hands. Put the value of your life in your hands. Look in your inner mirror of truth and go underneath all the things that you think are wrong with you and find the beauty that actually represents who you truly are. The value of life is one that is not derived from our ability to exist physically, but to exist in the human experience and be part of the experiences that are themselves considered desirable or good. And I would add the universal truth that you are desirable and good. Some of us just have to look underneath the walls that we put in place to protect ourselves. Make 2024 the year that you decide to value your life, to value yourself, and to fall in love with who you are at the core of your being. You are a glorious, tremendous, spectacular, spiritual being playing this human game. Sometimes we get lost in the game, forget our way. Other times we rise above the pain, wrapping our arms around ourselves, knowing we are doing the best we can at this moment. No one can decide to the value of your life except for you, and I'm asking you to value your life wholeheartedly, to know you are a good person. So try to surround yourself with people who acknowledge the goodness that resides within you. And when you're around people who do not acknowledge this truth, bless them and move on. That is one of the greatest things you can learn, is to leave behind what does not feed your soul. That is why this month's inspiration is to value your life and to leave behind what does not. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
If you want a master class on how laws can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Welcome back to Spiritual Common Sense. I'm Joffrey McClung. I just spoke about in a previous segment that this month's inspiration is to value your life. So your homework for this month is to make a covenant with yourself. Covenant means a pledge, a bond, a commitment. And that covenant should be focused on loving yourself. Loving yourself, for many of us, takes work. It takes work to practice self-forgiveness. It takes work to practice self-compassion. It takes work to practice self-respect. Self-love takes work. But you can do this if you make this year, 2024, your main goal. So right now, I'm going to discuss two components of self-love, which are self-forgiveness and self-compassion. I will discuss other components in the next few months. Self-forgiveness is vital to self-love. To be able to forgive yourself, all your mistakes, all your flaws, all your mess-ups, is a sign of someone who lives in self-love. Many people live with deep regrets about the choices they've made and the behaviors they've done. I have a close friend who gets stuck in the loop of self-regret. It's like he looks in the mirror and beats himself up for not being perfect. If he only understood that no one is perfect and no one is supposed to be perfect, we're all spiritual beings playing this human game and hopefully learning and growing. Mistakes are to teach us, not shame us. In my first book, How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live, I talked about the importance of self-forgiveness. I'm going to read a little bit of it to you now. My friend who had been diagnosed with terminal cancer was working on forgiving herself and healing her inner wounds. Here we go. Rob continued doing the hard work of transformation between doctor's appointments. Any fear that was still within or hidden, she brought to the surface. She was bombarded daily with new areas ready for clearing. She continued to forgive any old grievances or childhood wounds, all while in physical pain. I was astounded by her strength of will and determination. At times, Robin would understandably hit a wall until there was just too much to heal. She would feel that she had made too many mistakes and that it was too late. So one time, I shared with her a story. I had a story of going to see my aunt a year earlier in a nursing home a couple of weeks before she passed. Even though my aunt's body had been terribly twisted by muscular dystrophy, it was no concern to her. Her pain was rooted in the fear that she had made too many mistakes in this life. She had regrets, and they hurt more than her body. So I asked my sweet aunt, did you do your best with what you knew at the time? Yes, she replied. Was your intention to hurt anyone? No, she replied. So why carry around the idea that you did it wrong? I could tell she was not buying it. So I asked her, would you be mad at a one-year-old for not walking perfectly and falling over? Well, of course not, she replied. Children are just learning. So why should you be mad at yourself for not doing everything perfectly
when you were only doing your best with what you knew at the time. She thought about it for a moment and then smiled and said, I needed to hear that. Thank you for being so kind. I'm going to try to remember that when I'm feeling down. Now, the quote I put in the book right after that story was this. Realizing that you did the best in the past with the knowledge you had at the time is honoring the sacred journey of life. To hold on to regrets is to deny that journey and devalues the very lessons those mistakes could have potentially have taught you. Self-forgiveness is not only a component of self-love. I think it's the most important component. The next component I want to talk to you about is self-compassion. In my book, I talk about self-compassion and how my friend Robin struggled with it. Rob had a partner that she no longer loved, but she stayed in the relationship anyway. Here's what I wrote in my book about Robin living in martyrdom. She was a master at it, although she would not recognize it till her second battle with breast cancer. Her ego told her she was a good person because she put others first. See how compassionate you are not leading someone who has problems. If you can just make your inner partner, you can just make your partner better, life will be better. Rob had spent so much of her life wanting to know that she was a good, loving, compassionate person, but she never understood that you couldn't truly give someone what she refused to give to herself. You have to believe you are a compassionate, loving person in your heart of hearts. And the only way to know it is to practice it on yourself. Do you forgive your mistakes? Do you honor your heart's desires? Do you respect yourself? Do you treat yourself with love and kindness? And are you the star of your life or the background player? Now, as I said earlier, self-forgiveness is the most important component of self-love. But a truly compassionate person knows self-forgiveness is the ultimate act of compassion. We've all felt compassion for other beings going through horrible situations. We all reached out our hands towards them to help lift them out of their pain. But how often do you do that with yourself? When you look back at your past behavior that perhaps harmed someone or even harmed yourself, are you compassionate with yourself? Do you understand that you're walking around with inner wounds that need healing, that cause you to act out badly and to make decisions that are not in your best interest? When you actually discover and own your inner pain, it should awaken a sense of compassion for yourself. How could you have done anything differently when all that pain was dictating your actions? It should literally make you want to wrap your arms around your inner orphans and let them know they are safe, they are loved, and that you understand their pain. So, make this month the month you practice self-forgiveness and self-compassion. Not by looking inward and being disgusted at your pain, but by looking inward and being moved by your pain to feel compassion for yourself and to forgive yourself for all the mistakes you've made because of the pain and fear you've been carrying. I promise you this, if you spend this month practicing self-forgiveness and self-compassion, it will literally open your heart to receive more love. And isn't that the goal of self-love, to love oneself? I believe self-love is the key to valuing one's life. So make a covenant with yourself today that 2024 is the year that you learn to love yourself. And this month, the way you're going to learn to love yourself is by practicing self-forgiveness and self-compassionate. You deserve it. This is HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Eclectic talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you got some inspiration, some information, and some spiritual homework that will move you forward. And please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Also check out my website at MySpiritualCommonSense.com. I have great blogs there, and you can read a little bit about my books on my website. I hope I've left you with some things that no longer serve you and picked up some things that celebrate you and who you are becoming. And remember, you are glorious, magnificent, and stunning in the universe's eyes, and have always been and will always be lovable, loving, and loved. Until next time, be the light the world needs and have love for all. This is Joffrey McClung for Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Have a joyful, loving, self-loving month.